What's up, guys? It's your boy, Barca Boy 103, and welcome to episode 2 of the Big 3 show, where we're going to be covering all the latest games, rumors, and talks around the three biggest clubs in Spain, in Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico Madrid. And I have with me two fans. We have Sam here representing Real Madrid, and Alex representing Atletico de Madrid. A lot of talking points. Of course, we just had the La Liga match day the past weekend, where the most convincing scoreline was Real Madrid winning 4-0 against Celta Vigo at the Santiago Bernabeu. A result that was expected, Sam, wasn't it?
Yep, it was. But I'm still pissed off that we wasted so many chances, though. Because it should have been more. It could have even been more. Probably should have been more when you think about it, to be honest with you. How many chances did we have? Fluffed them. But listen, man, we won 4-0. Can't really complain that much. Celta Vigo, apart from that free kick in the end of the first half, didn't really do any danger towards us, you know. And my Turkish boy, Güler, getting that goal as well. Such important goal. I was screaming for the guy to play more. And amazing, isn't it, when you actually play the guy and you play him in the right position? Amazing, isn't it, what the guy actually can do for you? Amazing. But yeah, he performed when he came on. The whole team pretty much performed, apart from Nacho, who I am starting to lose pace with big time now. But apart from that, everything was great. The whole team was great back then. Nel Faisal there from the first minute to the last. Should have, you know, created many chances. The formation that we should have played against Leipzig, we played from the beginning today. We could see the inch of a difference that it made. And yeah, man, convincing win. And yeah, man, just one step. Just, I think it's 10 more league games left for the title to be home now. So hopefully now that just eases off a bit now, knowing the fact that we will go to Osasuna next, and knowing the fact, you know, what's going to happen in the other game week as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, like you mentioned, Arda Güler played, you know, he got his first goal for the club. What are your thoughts on the rumors about him potentially going to make it a loan move this summer? Because, again, the game time hasn't been quite there for him since he's joined. I think he has, like, 30 minutes total in the league this season.
Yeah, and he's created a pen and scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. No, like, I don't want him to go on loan. I don't think he will leave. I think what's happened was that big injury he had, half a season he was out.
Yeah.
It caused a lot of problems for the guy. Now that he's fit, and I said this before, for me, he is the most talented player in this squad. Over Vinny, over Jude, he's the most talented. Because this is a guy that can create problems out of anything. If you play low block, he can dribble past 3-4 men and ping the ball in the net. He can pick up that pass, even from these tight angles. If you give the guy space, he's as dangerous as anyone else on that pitch, especially one of the forward lines. The guy is, people need to understand as well, this is an 18-year-old boy. He's an 18-year-old boy who is, the way he's playing, you just don't know what you're going to do. That left foot is a magical left foot. He can do anything with that foot. So, no, I don't want him to go. I think he will get more game time. Modric is leaving in the summer, so he will get more time now. I want him to come off the bench earlier against Osasuna, even if the manager does start him as well, because he's earned that for me. The way he plays, every time he comes on, he creates problems for the opposition. But yeah, now Güler for me is the most talented. He shouldn't be loaned out. If they loan him out, it should be for maximum 1 year. Then get him straight back into the squad and let them do their job properly, because that's how it should be, in it. That's how good he is.
Yeah, Real Madrid don't really do too well with young talents, so we'll see how that turns out. But surprisingly, against Madrid, despite winning 4-0, that wasn't the big talking point. The big talking point in the Madrid kind of space was Brahim Diaz selecting to represent Morocco ahead of Spain. What are your thoughts on that? I've seen a lot of Madrid fans saying that, oh, he's kind of underrated. He should have been called up for Spain and all this stuff. But now he
Yeah,
chooses
he
to
should have
go
been.
to Morocco. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he should have been called up. But again, the Spanish Federation prefers La Masia. So if you're gonna prefer, if they're gonna prefer La Masia, well, go ahead and prefer them. But then don't. But again, when they at the same time then comes back and starts crying because a lot of the players gets injured. Well, mate, they play for Barca and you want to play in the national team. You don't even want to give this Brahim Diaz a chance. Well, then you can't really go ahead and blame him for actually choosing another nation, then is it?
Well,
So
Brahim Diaz
yeah,
just
I look
come
at
in
that.
now. Like in the first like three international breaks, he wasn't even breaking a couple of minutes for Real Madrid. Maybe this international break, he probably would have had a good chance to be called up because now rotation players kind of get more minutes and get more
Yeah, but look at
promise.
the injuries as well that the team had. Like Pedri hasn't been performing. Gavi has an ACL injury.
No, Pedri
We
performs when he
don't.
plays. He just promises he doesn't play.
Yeah, but the thing is, Pedri's been injury prone enough for how long? Like if he
He's
like.
on and off, but Pedri hasn't been
Yeah,
called up to the last few international
but
breaks.
my point is, what has Brahim Diaz done to not deserve to get that call up now? What's he done? He's been amazing all season. All season he's been good.
Not really. He's only
No, the
just come
thing is,
about
to be
now.
honest, like for me, I'm sorry, just a minute. So, like for me, the thing is, like Spain has a lot of options in midfield area. Like you have Miguel Merino, you have Fabian Ruiz from PSG, and then you have like
Marcus
obviously you have
Llorente.
Atletico Madrid players as well. Like Spain has a lot of options in the midfield. So
Yeah,
like you
but
know,
look at the
for
names you're
Brahim
giving
Diaz,
me. But look at the names you're giving me. You're giving me names that Brahim Diaz has been performing better than. yeah,
This
over
is
the
my
past
point.
2 weeks, not the whole entire season. You can't shadow over
No.
that fact.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Yeah, but
like
still. Exactly. That's
I
my
haven't
point. Yeah,
heard
but
of
still.
Brahim Diaz
Yeah, but
until
still,
2 weeks
the fact that,
ago.
yeah, but the fact that they haven't even called him up. Yeah, but that's because people haven't watched Brahim Diaz play all season. That's why. People really watch Madrid play, so they're not going to comment on that, obviously, for a fact. But when you watch the guy play, he's deserved to get a call up. I'm not saying start the guy. But he deserves to get caught. He deserves to get made his international team. He deserves it.
Well, when other players play at a high level consistently week in, week out, that does give them, you know, the edge. Like Alex said, Miguel Merino, who's one of the integral parts of Sociedad, he plays week in, week out at a good level. He's gonna get picked over Brahim Diaz, who comes off the bench maybe once or twice. Of course, during the time that Spain, during the international break, during September, October, November time, when Brahim Diaz was barely getting off the bench at that point. I think this international break coming up, definitely he would have had some strong contention for that. But with him picking Morocco, I guess that's really out of the question. But I don't think Spain lose out on Brahim Diaz switching allegiance. They have so many talents, especially in the midfield. But I think it's a situation that the Madrid kind of media blew a lot out of proportion, maybe because it's a Madrid player. He's not like a revolutionary player. He's a player that's on good form, and we see that a lot in Spain international break or any international break calls. He picked the most informed players, so probably for this one he would have been called up ahead of maybe a likes of other players like Marcus
I don't
Llorente, who
think he
hasn't
would have
been
been called up. I don't even think he would have been called up. I can't even lie.
this international break for Spain. If he played
I don't even
Spain,
think he would have. No, I don't think they
I
would
think
have.
he probably would have based on like recent form. Whether he would have made the Euro squad is another topic in itself, which probably he wouldn't have. But I think for the recent form and, you know, with the injuries that Spain do have in the midfield right now, with like the Pedri out and Gavi out and other players as well, I think he would have squeezed in there for this international break. But in terms of the Euro squad, if everyone's fit and, you know, ready, he doesn't make the squad regardless. So, I mean, it's a
Yeah, I
controversy
think
that's.
still
Yeah, but for
they
me,
have a lot of players.
he's been
They
better
have a
than
lot of
majority of
players.
these midfielders for me this season. He has been, the way he's been performing when he's come off the bench, the games that he started as well. A whole season or the past month?
Not in the majority of the season.
I don't know. From August, September, October, November, December, Brahim Diaz maybe came off the bench a couple of times, started a few games where there's a lot of calendar mix-ups, and that's it.
Yeah, but when he's played, he's been amazing.
If he's been amazing, that he would be, you know, in contention to start. But you know, Ancelotti start
No,
puts Jude.
because I know how the Federation works there. That's why I've given up on Okay,
that one.
how many goals have you scored this season? Brahim Diaz, how many goals have you scored this season?
He's gotten a few big goals, to be fair to him.
No, I've not even held the counts. I mean, he scored against Villarreal. He scored against Atletico Madrid. Okay.
He scored against Leipzig. That fucking Messi goal. That was a Messi goal that he scored. I'm sorry, mate, but the way he just turned them and just bounced in. I think he scored a few goals. He scored a few goals in the UCL as well. Even, you know, coming into these when Jude's been out, he's been stepping up as well, performing massively. So he's been an important player for us. A lot of the time
The
when Jude's
guy.
out, though, Ancelotti's first bet isn't Brahim Diaz, and I've seen a lot of controversy around that. Like, why isn't, like, from the Madrid fans, why isn't Brahim Diaz getting more minutes? Cause a lot of time when Jude's
I think
out,
it's Goulet. I think it's more Goulet. That's more the discussion point. It's more Goulet that they have an issue with not playing more. It's not Brahim Diaz, because Brahim Diaz plays much, much, much more than...
But I'm talking about when it was, like, December, January, and there is, you know, heavy games coming up. We always saw the likes of, you know, Camavinga and Tchouaméni progress more in the midfield, and, you know, Valverde as well. Then Brahim Diaz
plays,
getting that natural replacement.
Yeah, but he plays him as a 10. Camavinga's not a 10.
No, I know that, but... What Ancelotti would do was put Valverde in the 10 and then have him in behind Vinicius and Rodrigo, and then Brahim Diaz is chilling on the bench.
But this manager has got the talent of going under my skin, which he does time after fucking time.
Yeah, but that's Ancelotti's decision. Then in the end, that will have implications on whether you get called up for the Spanish national team or not. If you're De La Fuente, you want to pick Brahim Diaz, but the man isn't playing. Of course, you know, take the way this upcoming international break.
Yeah, but he's been playing a lot for this season, Brahim Diaz. This is my point. He has deserved to get called. I'm not saying you need to start the guy. I'm not even saying that, but at least call the guy up. He deserves a few calling minutes. That's the whole point. But it is what it is. And at the end of the day, the thing is, I don't really care. He changed Morocco. Good luck to him. He's performing here. It's gonna be Spain's loss for themselves, especially if the other midfielders don't perform well.
If they don't perform well, then that argument will definitely come about. But they have a plethora of talents in Spanish.
We'll see in the Euros, isn't it? If they flop at another tournament, then that argument will start to come up.
Oh, they got knocked out because they didn't bring Brahim Diaz. Oh, that's...
No, but he will make a difference. He will make a difference.
We'll see.
No, I don't think he'll even start, to be honest, in Spain's part, because we have a lot of numbers, you know?
No, but I didn't say start.
He didn't say start.
Yeah, I'm like, even... Even on bench, like, you have a lot of players from Real Sociedad in that midfield area, like Zubimendi, you have Mikel Merino, then you have Fabian Ruiz, and then you have a bunch of other players, you know, like Alex Baena and Villarreal, you have a bunch of players as well. So Spain doesn't really, like, lose out on much, you know, when they come with the midfield options.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a really good option.
If I was Brahim Diaz, I would definitely switch my allegiance, because you can get maybe into Spain's squad on recent form, so to speak, but consistently you won't. For Morocco, whether you're on the bench week in, week out, or playing out of your skin, you're going to get called up. So I think it's a very, very good choice from him player perspective.
Exactly. You know, it's like that. So, like, Laporte wasn't getting picked up in the French national team. So what he did, he switched to Spain.
Same with Lenormand, the center back for Sociedad.
But the French national team is completely different. They have to, for me, they can afford to do that.
Like, no, but back when Aymeric Laporte switches allegiance, at that time, they didn't have, you know, the Konate resurgence wasn't there yet. Saliba was still... mid-table in league. That time, it was quite surprising.
The other centre-backs you're talking about. Yeah, but you're talking about a Varane and these types of players. These players were before.
Yeah, but like you said, you just want them to at least get called up, get that recognition. He's not going to start, of course not, but he's definitely at that time, Aymeric Laporte in his peak, when, you know, City were getting 100 points in the Premier League and he was starting week in, week out. And still at that point, he was not getting called up to the national team. And that's why he switched his allegiance.
This is my point. Yeah, but this is why I don't trust these so-called federations anymore. I don't really trust them anymore. That's why I don't really pay much attention to them anymore.
I mean, they're all going to have their favorites. Every manager has their favorites. Same with Ancelotti, same with Diego Simeone, same with Xavi. That's all part of the game that comes with the package. But interesting topic that I think was... taken a bit out of a proportion, but we'll see how Brahim Diaz does it. We'll see how Madrid do in these final 10 games. They're 8-point clear, like we mentioned in the last episode. The Clasico coming up in about a month's time. The points difference going up to that game will be the big talking point. And of course, we'll go on to Barcelona now, who did win their game on Friday against Mallorca 1-0 with a 16-year-old Lamine Yamal getting the goal. I think he's actually 17 now. I think his birthday recently passed. But
no, I think he's still 16.
Oh, he's still 16? Well... I guess, you know.
He turned 17.
Yeah, I think he turned.
Did he turn 17?
I believe so.
Yeah. Because, like, otherwise Barca would get, like, the financial fair play thing, some ban kind of, because you can't play players under, you know, a certain amount. Like, you can't play players under 18.
Then happy birthday.
But yeah, it was a game that was very much... Like we talked about in the last episode, Barcelona versus Athletic Club, boring game, both teams not really going for it. Honestly, the Mallorca game was the exact same thing. The second half is where kind of the turning point took place. The players kind of woke up thinking, bloody hell, we need to win this game so we can at least have somewhat of a push against Real Madrid. Took a Lamine Yamal golazo. It was a beautiful finesse. He attempted that shot twice beforehand. He hit the bar the first time, and I think the second time he just put it wide, but the third time lucky, and he gets the goal. But apart from that, the performance wasn't really that encouraging. And again, especially with the tomorrow's game against Napoli coming up, didn't really give me that much confidence, so to speak, in the fact that, oh, it's kind of crunch time now. Let's see the players really have that impact on the pitch. But it's a game where, you know...
He's still 16, by the way.
He's still 16, Lamine Yamal?
Yeah. He's still 16?
Yeah.
Wait,
it's crazy what he's doing.
Birthday?
What?
When does he turn 17?
13th of July.
Oh, yes, his birthday is in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think the rule that you're talking about, Alex, is for the cup. I think La Liga, it's kind of all open. I think in the cup, there's regulations. I remember when we were playing Bilbao, we couldn't sub in Fermin Lopez because we had too many youngsters on the pitch. I think the rule you're talking about is for the cup competitions, but I think La Liga, everything is fair games. You can play a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old for all you know. But yeah, I think with Barcelona, it's just now keeping up with pace. I think we're just really trying to hang in there until the Clásico and hope that Madrid maybe somehow, some way, drop a couple of points here and there. But I think if we drop any more points pre-Clásico, it's going to be a long, long day in terms of the title race. But I think the biggest surprise of the past weekend was Atletico Madrid losing to Cadiz. Now, Alex did mention in the last show that Atletico Madrid's away form is very, very bad, and it came into fruition. I think that was Cadiz's first win since September, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Is wild. But Alex,
like,
let us know your thoughts.
Know, like, 20 games? Yeah, like, it was, like, pretty disappointed, at least for me. Because, like, we didn't really create that much. Like, we had 50-50 chances, you know. Depay, like, I don't understand Depay, to be honest. Like, sometimes, like, he plays so good, and sometimes he's just trash. And, like, even when I was looking at the team sheet, like, I was looking for creative players, you know, who can change the things out of nowhere. And I could see no one in the lineup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, like, worrying signs. And especially the way we conceded these goals, they were, like, ferocious. Like, when you look at the first goal, like, we conceded from a cross, Gabriel Paulista, was nowhere to be found.
Yes,
the second goal. Yeah, the second goal, the guy pushed him and he went on to like score. Again, I don't know, that was a bit dodgy for me, but I mean, like, still, like, I don't have any complaints about it because we didn't really create that much. But that was a disappointing game. Like, that was seriously disappointed. And now we have a big game coming up against Inter, so I don't know how we're going to perform. The good thing is that Griezmann and Pablo Barrios, they're both back. So let's see how we go up.
But in the game, we saw that Simeone made like a triple change at halftime, trying to get things, you know, back on track. But what do you think mainly went wrong? You know, again, Cadiz's first win in general since September, and they're beating, you know, Atletico Madrid. Like, what do you think was the main issue in that game? Was it the fact that the away form kind of lingering in their heads? Just nothing came up. I was watching the game as well. They didn't really create that much. I think Morata had a chance. Memphis in the first half, maybe that was it, but they didn't have nothing going forward.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. Like, you know, like when I said about, like, you know, creative players, we didn't have any, you know, we just have Griezmann. The, you know, we were having such a good time at home. That's because of Griezmann, because, like, he creates so much for us. And, you know, like, without him, we're just shit, to be honest. Like, that's still respectable. I'm still being respectable saying shit, you know, like, we're that bad. And, like, there is no proper pressing when we are away at home. There is no proper passage of play. Like, we can't even string, like, 2-3 passes together, you know? Like, in the final third, we are so ass away from home. I don't know, like, how we do it with Real Madrid and all that, but with other teams, we suck at it. And, like I said, so like, with Morata, like, he should have scored, though. Morata should have scored that goal. Like, it was, like, open net. He should have scored that one. Given, like, the form he's been this season, should have scored that one, you know, like, maybe the momentum could have gone with us, but again, our away form has been trash. Like,
I mean, the reason you even got something against us was because we fluffed all of our chances, and because because we had our whole defense pretty much out, and that was just
it's not something like that. I mean, like, these players are playing for Real Madrid. It's not like they're shit, you know, like, they are good players. That's why they're playing for Real Madrid. Like, you can't really say that your defense was out or anything.
But they were, though. They were, though. Rudiger wasn't even there. He wasn't there. Our best defender wasn't even there.
Yeah,
you know,
the second match, the La Liga one. Yeah, he wasn't
there. Yeah, and you could see the height. Shuamani wasn't even there.
That was an effort. Like, he got suspended.
No. But I'm saying the only reason you even got someone was because we scrapped all of our chances. If we took our chances better, like, that game would have been wrapped up as well. Like, which is why I was so annoyed that we actually even managed to draw that game. Because I've said it before. Like, this Atletico team isn't even that good. It's not. And my point has been proven now all day long. It's been proven.
I think on paper, they look like a good team, but they just don't perform at all.
Yeah,
but if you don't perform, then you're not that good, are you?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, no, that's the difference. See, that's the difference. Like, when you're away from home, it's different. When you're at home, it's different. Like,
yeah, because you're being at home.
Against Real Madrid. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, away form has been bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
which is why I wouldn't be surprised if you get something against Inter because you're at home. If the second leg was away, I would have called it a day off.
Oh, that's what I'm going to say. I agree.
For me as well. Like, I wouldn't have that much of a chance, you know. Like, I would be hoping for 30-40%. But right now, like, I'm being, you know, a bit optimistic about it. So, yeah, let's see. But, yeah, talking about that Real Madrid game, I think we had fair chances as well. But I would say Simeone had the lineup wrong. I would definitely say that. Because the aerial strength of Real Madrid in that game was literally zero. We could have hurt you guys so bad through crosses and all of that stuff. So, I'll blame Simeone on that one. The game against Real Madrid and Bernabeu.
Yeah, I remember because I think Carvajal was playing center back or whatever in that game, and they every cross that was coming in that first half
with fucking Nacho, exactly. With fucking Nacho.
Yeah,
I fucking passed because he's a right back. That tells you.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. Like, we could have killed you guys with crosses so easily, but Simeone got the lineup wrong, according to me, and that's why like we struggled, and that's why you guys like you know just went on to create chances and all of that. I fucking hate Saul. I don't know why. This season, he's been so awful. I don't know why.
That was an Athletic Madrid legend, man. You can't hate him.
No, I mean, like, ever since he moved to Chelsea, he's been ass. Like, let's be honest. You know,
probably,
like,
thank
you for your time and everything. But, like, after Chelsea, he's been just ass. Like, the only good game I remember him playing was against Real Madrid only again. Like, where he crossed the ball, like, Morata scored and everything. Mm. That was the only game he had a really good time. Other than that, like, he has been so shit.
But yeah, Atletico Madrid now 6 points off Barcelona, still in fourth place. I think they're only a few points ahead of Athletic Club. I think in the end, like I mentioned, the top four at this point is pretty much secured, just down to who finishes where. But giving a little bit of a cushion for Barcelona against coming up against the game next week, or this weekend, should I say, at the Wanda Metropolitano, or not the Wanda anymore, it's called just the Metropolitano now. That's going to be a big, big game. That will definitely decide for sure Barcelona can salvage somewhat of a title challenge. I think Madrid face Osasuna away next weekend, something like that. So it could be somewhat of a weekend where things can change. But we'll talk about that in the next video. I think we should wrap up now about the Champions League talk, which, of course,
takes up tomorrow. I mean, you hope that it turns around, doesn't it?
Of course. I wanted to at least have a 6-point gap going into the Clásico. So if you drop,
No. Just keep the 8 points. You can draw. you can please lose or draw to Atletico at the stadium as well. Make it 10.
You can please lose to Osasuna or someone else. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I've only
lost one. It's okay, guys. We'll come back to La Liga. We'll come back to La Liga. Champions League.
Of course, Champions League is tomorrow. I think Atletico play on Wednesday. And we, Barcelona, play tomorrow on Tuesday. We have Napoli, they have Inter. Big, big games that will definitely define mood for the rest of the season. I think for Barcelona personally, the stakes are so, so high because the season will die tomorrow. You can forget about a title race. You can forget about us going to the Metropolitano and getting a result. If we do not qualify tomorrow, the season is beyond over to the point that I wouldn't even care what would happen. As long as we just get second place in La Liga, it's just going to be going through the motions kind of mood. And it's a game where I would say I'm confident that Barcelona will progress. I just don't know how. Will it be a tight game? Or will it be back and forth? Will we absolutely dominate? Will Napoli dominate, but we nick it? There's so many different scenarios that can happen. But the players, the manager, and the club have been hyping up this game like no tomorrow. All the expectations on this game. You have to make it to the quarterfinals to balance the budget. The players consider the Champions League a different campaign where they want to prove everyone wrong. all the stuff that I've been hearing for months and months and months, especially since Xavi announced his resignation, all comes down to this point. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on the game. How do you see Barcelona against Napoli tomorrow? We'll start with Sam.
Did you see what the Napoli president said?
No,
I've been hearing before I came on to this podcast.
What did he say?
Apparently.
Oh, he offered $10 million to his players or whatever?
Wage bonus, including their hunger for to qualify as well.
Yeah.
So that's just made everything a bit more difficult because now they're going to give an extra 50% to get that wage thing. For that money as well.
I mean, if they're not already hyped up for a Barcelona away, they need money to...
But that's just adding more salt into their hunger, onto the stake.
Well, I think there's money at stake for the club, for Barcelona, not the players per se. But there's a lot, because if we don't qualify for the quarterfinals, then our budget is going to be way out of whack, and we're definitely not going to have, be in the 1-1 rule once we hit the summer transfer window. But what are your thoughts on the game, Sam? Do you think Barcelona have a chance? Do you see it 50-50?
No, you've got a chance. I'm not going to see and be stupid and say you haven't got a chance, because that would just be silly for me. You have a chance. Do I think you will get through? That's a completely different conversation. And for me, it all comes down to the first score. If you score first, I think you have a good chance of actually going through. If Napoli scores first, though...
That's a great point.
Do you know what? I'm going to say this right now. Whoever scores the first score wins. I'm going to say that right now. If you score first, you'll go through. Because I think they're going to collapse. If they score first, then not.
I do think there's a better chance that if they score first and we have to make a comeback, I think we have a better chance of making a comeback than Napoli doing if we score first. But I think you're absolutely spot on, because Barcelona, they always play on feeling and momentum. And once we concede first, especially, I'll tell you this right now, if we concede in the first 10 minutes, we are 100% out, no matter what. That 10-minute period where Barcelona just headless chickens. Just
if you concede in the 60th or 70th minute, I mean, that alone would be just, you know what? The heads could just drop,
but
like that.
60-70 minute, you're thinking there's 20 minutes left to salvage your season. They'll really push forward and stuff like that. But for me,
it's different though. Because for me, that's more the case if you score early for me. Because then it's like, all right, but it's still time. We can still get it back up and all that. If it's late, number one, the timing is less. And number two, you're thinking we've bailed so much for us to concede that goal. That's what I'm saying. Your mentality and everything, the confidence will just go down. It's gonna be like a pancake.
No, this is a fair point, but Barcelona this season have scored, I think, like 80% of their goals past the 70th minute. So we've done a lot this season where we kind of salvaged a point or 3 points, come the 70th minute onwards. So that's why I have a bit more confidence in that sense. But from the first minute, you're gonna be pushing. You're gonna be more vulnerable as well, so you could even leak more goals. In terms of goals as well, I think the goals are going to come down to the players in the attacking phase. Like, I don't think Napoli or Barcelona's defense is going to have a worldly of a game. I think it's going to come down to which attackers are hot, which attackers finish their chances. I don't think the defense will really have a big implication in this game, personally. So it comes down to, I think, who will finish their dinner, so to speak, at the end of the day. But I'm fairly confident. It's at the home stadium, not our technical home, but, our temporary home at the Montjuïc in Catalonia. It's going to be a sold-out crowd as well. The crowd, when it's sold out, does get a bit hype. And, Champions League, we haven't been in this phase in quite some time
now. It's nothing like the Camp Nou, though.
Obviously. Nothing. Of course, it's nothing. But an atmosphere is an atmosphere. And again, I'd rather have the whole stadium cheering for my team than against it at the end of the day. But I think where the more balancing tie is the Atletico Madrid-Inter game. Now, of course, Atletico are at home as well, the Monte Pelotano, so that will definitely help them as well. But Inter are a very, very good team. I would say one of the best teams this season. I would definitely consider them top three, maybe even top five guaranteed. But Alex, how's your mood going to that game against a team that kind of plays a similar style as well with the back five, and they have the wing backs pushing forward? I mentioned in the last episode that if Simeone ever leaves like Atletico in the next year or so, I would consider the Inter manager, Simeone Inzaghi, as like a number one choice to replace him. But what are your thoughts heading into that game?
Yeah, well, before that, I would like to mention that, I would definitely love to see Napoli going through into the round of like quarterfinals, because I don't think that Barca can go through with this one, because Napoli, they have a good run of games in. Kvaratskhelia has been scoring good few goals. Osimhen, he seems, you know, back on track as well. So that'd be an interesting game with Barcelona. And especially the fact that, you know, that Barca's home is not really that home vibes, you know, that Camp Nou vibes. Mm-hmm. You guys can't really create that kind of atmosphere. So, yeah. Anyway, now moving on to the Atletico Inter. So I think our fans would be like, you know, like as always, they're going to be amazing. They're going to, you know, like support the team. They're going to be our 12th man. And I think that will help us, like, you know, push for more. And I will definitely see us, like, you know, the first 20-30 minutes, we're going to be on top of Inter. Now, the thing is, like, if we finish our chances or not, it all comes down to that. Because, like, I definitely know. Yeah, Griezmann is back. He's going to play.
Okay. Then you've got chance. Griezmann,
yeah. I mean, like, he's our, like, only creative player at the team, to be honest. But, yeah, so Griezmann is there and Pablo Paris is back. So, he's a really good midfielder player for us. And so it's going to be down to us, you know, who's going to take the chances, because I definitely know Inter is going to play with their counter-attack tactics with, I don't know if Thuram is available or not, because if Thuram is available, otherwise it's going to be a Arnautovic. And Lautaro has been, like, good this season.
If Thuram's missing, then that's going to be a big loss. That will be a big loss.
Oh, Thuram isn't playing?
That's what I'm saying.
He could be missing. If he misses that game, it's going to be a loss. That's going to be a big loss.
Yeah, because, like, you know, he has that strength, he has that pace, so, like, he can definitely hurt us.
Not even just the pace. No, but it's not just the pace, his height, what he does as well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he can hold the ball, like, you know, like his strength, the pace, like, he's a complete, like, good, you know,
his heading ability as well. It's heading
up. Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
So, like, Lautaro, like, you know, like, he really helps Lautaro much, like, going forward as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if Thuram is missing, that'll be a massive big plus for us, you know, for our defense, because, like, we have all these retirement players playing for us in the back, you know, like Witzel and all of that. They are too slow. And we don't have Jimenez, which is literally our backbone in the defense.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Let's see. But the only thing Inter can come back into this game is by counterattacks. So I think I'm really worried about their wing backs, to be honest. Di Marco and if Dumfries play, because he's fast as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried about these two wing backs. If Darmian plays, then I don't really have that, you know, much to worry about. But, like, you know, if Dumfries plays, and Di Marco is again, like, another amazing fullback as well. So let's see. The only thing is, like, you know, it comes down to, like, who's going to finish the chances.
Mm-hmm. I just need that Club World Cup position, man. So I need Atletico Madrid to get knocked out.
Who gives a toss about the Club World Cup?
Honestly, I care about the entrance money.
Exactly. There you go. Like, you guys have
50
a lot
million
of, you know,
just
like,
for
play.
Just
like,
for going there? I'll take it.
Oh, bloody hell, bro. How desperate can you, man, honestly be for that money?
Hey, 50 million, man. That's quite a bit of chunk of change.
Look at that, yeah. The second biggest club on the planet is twerking for 50 million.
It's not twerking. It's just, you know, getting money that is greatly
who
needed.
Who would have thought?
Well, you know, we have a new stadium making investments in the squad. So
I have a new stadium as well. Haven't I built a new stadium?
You've been building that stadium since pre-COVID. You've been doing
that. My brother, 1 billion. 1 billion.
Yeah, we've had 1.1 billion in our stadium.
Oh, congratulations, 100 million more.
Yeah, I mean, you have the 100 million?
Yeah, I've got more. I've got more than that. Thank you very much.
No, I mean you personally.
Me?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, send them my way.
200 million.
Send them my way then. Yeah, when you're a business and you run based on how much you make, income is always important, so we'll absolutely take it.
No, I'm never saying that it wasn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not twerking.
No,
you know. It's a competition,
like,
where all the best teams in the world are going to play in, and it's going to be a competition,
like,
that's going to have all their eyes on it as well.
Yeah,
these guys were having weddings in Kampu. These guys were selling the grass of Kampu. I mean, like, you know, they have to work out.
I bought some as well. Banging purchase. I got some in my room.
My brother, the players have to go home taking a shower because the buddy.
Yeah, because of the drought in our city. That's totally Barcelona's fault. Because there's, you know, people who can't even get water. So that's why the players, the luxury players have to go shower in their houses for a month. Oh, God almighty. It's so rough for them out there.
Just one thing. That guy down there in the comments, 24K. That last comment that he just put up when Perez is gone, what's going to happen to Madrid next? Mate, let me explain something to you, right? Go and check the history before Perez was there. Look at the trophies we won. Then come back to me, yeah? Unlucky.
I think, though, connections is very important in the world of football. I think, you know, if Barcelona had anyone else than Laporta as the manager, as the president, sorry, we'd be way worse than we are right now. I would be surprised if we're, like, mid-table.
Yeah, and by the way, unlike Barca Boys Club, I don't employ an idiot like Bartomeu as my president.
We didn't employ him. He was voted from the Socies, and he just won the treble. It's kind of difficult to not vote for him when he just won the treble.
No, but the point is, I am not. Like, my club doesn't vote people in like that. My club is always very, very careful with who they actually bring in. That's the difference.
Well, you haven't won a treble, so you don't know that feeling. So maybe if you win one, then you can make the vote.
How many Champions Leagues do you have compared to me? How many leagues?
You've never done it all in one season, though, so hold that.
Okay. Okay, guess what? Have you won 14 UCLs? No, you haven't.
Back in the war days, we were too busy, you know, fighting crimes and stuff, not winning Champions League against a bunch of nobodies. But,
The only reason you've got that is because of Messi, bro. Now look at you.
The only reason why you got it is because you paid the referees. But, anyways, that's a topic for another day.
Says the same guy who's got the Nigeria case on him, yeah?
The Nigeria case? That's a case because we paid for referee reports, not decisions.
There you go.
And we're proven innocent. I mean, have you heard about it lately? I've heard nothing about it.
Do you believe that report? Do you actually believe in that?
Yeah.
And you're a long way up.
Let me just get the popcorns. I'm enjoying this.
Mate, you couldn't even beat Cadiz. What popcorn are you going to bring up?
I'm not even talking about this stuff.
Let me explain this. We're not playing tomorrow and Wednesday. I'm bringing out my popcorn. I'm going to sit there with both my feet sit on this table and say, hey, do you know what? Go ahead and prove me then. Or do I have to carry La Liga once again?
Enjoy our game. At least we're not going to rob other teams. It's going to be a fair game as well.
Yeah, imagine you eat popcorn and then we both qualify. That's going to be funny.
At least one of you are getting knocked out. At least one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, 100%. At least one of you are going out.
That'd be interesting. I think if one of us weren't playing at home, then you could definitely put a strong bet on that. But with both of us being at home, I think it's going to be a bit difficult. But
we'll see.
I think if we qualify on Tuesday, all the pressure is going to be on Atletico. So they have a bit of a disadvantage in that regard.
I'm pretty confident about this one because Metropolitano, it's a fortress. So I don't have any doubts about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if we can, you know, crush Real Madrid in our home stadium, so like we can go with anyone and bring anything.
I'm just laughing at this comment. It says Sam's team had 14 attempts to win a treble and fumbled.
Hey, guess what, man? So does Celtic. They have a treble as well. What's your point? Are they bigger than Madrid because of that? Come back to me when you can actually do a 3-peat UCL, mate. I know you can't, can you? That's right.
Well, the 3P UCL has been done before, but the treble is only done by a select few.
Yeah, that's right. The same way my club has been able to do the 3P, like pretty much no other club pretty much has been able to, apart from Bayern Munich.
The crazy thing is, when you had the 3P, two of the times you won the 3P, you just won the Champions League alone that season, where Barcelona have never won the Champions League without winning the league as well. So it's all about consistency in those seasons.
Yeah, the reason you won the UCL in the first UCL out of the three that I did on the spin is because I had Rafa Benitez, that absolute fraud, who now is a manager of Celta Vigo. If I had Zizou from the start, I would have won the league title. I ended up 1 point behind you, and you were what?
Yeah, one point doesn't matter, man. The title is a title.
I'm just saying. Anyways, man, I would much rather win the UCL than win the league. I'm saying that right now.
That's a fair point, but I think, of course, league talks about consistency over 38 games, where Champions League can get the easiest draws in the world, the hardest draws in the world, and it's all 50-50 games. Look at Madrid's Champions League in the 2022, where they all made comebacks. Any one of those games could have went south.
Yeah. No.
I'm not taking that away from you. I'm just saying that, you know, if you don't come back against PSG.
Because a few of those, because the City game as an example. I mean,
that was wild.
But it's not even that. Even as wild as the PSG game was, for me, that wasn't even the same as you look at the Chelsea game. The Chelsea game for me was like we were going out and we had to turn everything around. So, but it all comes down to momentum, isn't it?
And it all comes down to having every single second leg at the Bernabeu. What are those legs? The second legs now at the Bernabeu? It's a
Come on, bro. I smashed Bayern Munich when I won that. When I smashed Bayern Munich 4-0.
I'm talking about the manager, bro. I'm talking about just the 2022 Champions League. You didn't have, you know, Ronaldo and stuff. Yeah. Then talk about that one only. If any one of those games against Chelsea, City, PSG, if that second leg was away, huge implications thrown.
Yeah, of course. But you know what it is? Because some of these stadiums, the same goes with Anfield as well. Some of these stadiums, same with the San Siro as well. Some of these stadiums have such a big impact on these games. People just don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
People rarely. This is something that I don't understand. A lot of people do not want to pay attention to this as well. And this is something you need to pay attention to, because these stadiums, they play a big part of it, because the atmosphere is, it becomes hostile.
100%. It's a complete 100%. Different
scenario. But people disrespect this.
Absolutely.
Which is why I don't get.
Absolutely. Yeah. Second leg at home is such a massive advantage, because you go into that first leg away just thinking, just survive, and you're pretty much good to go. So that's why I think Barcelona and Atletico tomorrow and after tomorrow have a bit of a chance, since, you know, they're both playing at home.
No, I never say you don't have chances. You do. But I'm just saying, especially Inter, the way they've been playing, they've conceded 13 goals, I think.
The Inter and Atletico Madrid game is more of a toss and turn than the Barcelona and Napoli game.
Yeah, that one I agree with you.
What's going to be interesting is the draw on Friday, when all the big teams are left and we're all going to draw each other. I told you, man, I need Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, second leg at the Metropolitano, and we're good.
No, I don't want that.
I don't blame you. You guys have already faced each other way too much this season.
Wait, which fixture do you not want to see?
No, I said if we all qualify for the quarterfinals of the Champions League, the quarterfinals are going to be big, because all just the big teams left. What I want in the draw is Real Madrid to draw Atletico Madrid, with the second leg being at the Metropolitano.
Oh, hey, bring it on. I don't care, man.
I don't want to face these guys again. Like, you know how hard it is, especially when they have referees on their side to beat them. You know,
I know, man. It's tough out here.
Was the referee on my side when I got absolutely robbed against Valencia?
No, but it was on your side when you beat Almeria.
No, I'm talking about us. I'm thinking about
what?
Us. Not even
the referee was on your side when you beat Almeria.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so game is game.
100%. But again, I'm honest.
So you think I haven't been honest? I've been honest.
Off.
Nah.
Yeah, you know, I can't even talk about referees being on my team side, like, because that's never been the case.
Yeah, but that's why I never bring the argument towards you, though.
Yeah, and the day if we're being honest, all the referees in the federation are all Madrid fans, so you know it's gonna be somewhat of a bias in some capacity. That's the reality of it.
That is why you've got that referee case on your head.
The referee case has been dropped and hasn't been mentioned. At least the referees are leaving games with the Madrid bags and not Barcelona bags.
Hang on, I have a question for you. So, like, you know, talking about the referees as well, do you remember the game against Villarreal, Barcelona versus Villarreal, that disallowed goal of Moreno?
Which game? Like this season?
Yeah, this season. That disallowed goal from Gerard Moreno.
When we lost 5-3?
Yeah, that funny game.
What was that blown offside for? I mean, we lost. What referee scandal is there? We lost.
Yeah, but like, still.
That's still a scandal, though.
I mean, it's a bad decision. It's not even like a loss. It's still a bad decision.
I don't even remember the decision you're talking about. And the fact that I don't remember.
Goal.
Huh?
And he viewed them offside. He viewed them offside for something that wasn't even close to offside. Isn't that right?
Oh, that's because the player was standing in front of Ter Stegen and blocking his view. So he's impeding play.
What?
Are you kidding me?
No, man, read the letter of the law. Again, the referees and the referees are so inconsistent. Look at the
Joel. If you genuinely believe that blocked his view, then oh my word. Then Ter Stegen is blind, bro. Then he's actually blind.
I mean, the letter of the law is letter of the law. I mean, if you look at the game against we played Granada away in October, we scored that goal, and Joel and Ferran Torres went for a header, and since he went for a header, he was involved with the play, and then Madrid scored the exact same goal a month later and it's given to them. It's all just inconsistencies. I've seen those goals given and seen those goals not given. Same with the Bellingham goal against Valencia. The referee is down to his opinion to blow the whistle or not. If that's how they feel on the day, It's how they feel on the day.
I don't even want to waste my time with these refs because they're shit. Like, at the end of the day, they're all shit. Like, no, but that's the truth. Like, the thing is, I don't respect any of these referees. Whether it's La Liga, Premier League, Serie A, I don't respect them. They're crap. The whole lot of them are crap. Which is why I'm just begging that these referees don't put themselves at the center of the focus. Because I really don't even want to go at them. Because they're that bad that you don't even want to have a go at them. Anymore. It's just like, whatever, I know you're crap. Just let the team do their job. If they perform bad, let me crash it on them instead. Don't let me make you the center of the focus, because that's just going to make things just, you know, stupid and worthless at the same time.
The problem is that humans are just so, like, attention hungry. So whether if you're from a neutral point of view, you sometimes want to make it about yourself. Like Mateo Laos, he's always famous for making games about him. He wants to be in the headline afterwards. Laos is a big decision.
All these referees, you know, Michael Oliver, Anthony Taylor. This is some of the referees that are living in the Prem. Look at some of the things that they do, as an example.
Yeah.
These referees are just inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, we got into a bit of a referee tangent there, but nonetheless, we'll wait and see how that games turn out this midweek. And again, this draw on Friday is going to be big as well, if all qualifications, as we expect, will take place. I think that our next show will be on Thursday, so we won't even know the draw for Friday. So it's going to be, because again, we can all draw each other now once it hits the quarterfinals. There's no region restrictions like there was in the round 16. So we'll wait and see how things turn out. But anyways, hopefully everyone enjoyed the stream. If you did, make sure you drop a like and, of course, subscribe down below. And we'll see you guys next time where, again, I could be as depressed as hell or over the moon. Alex could be the same thing. But Sam is going to be the only one that's guaranteed. He'll be chilling no matter what, because he only did the hard work last week.
Listen, I'm praying. Make Alex and Barca boys suffer. Make them suffer.
We'll wait and see. But thanks everyone for joining. Again, drop a like, subscribe down below, and we will see you guys next time for the next episode.